This is A Boy Who Knows Exactly What He Needs, written by Nock Tiffany and read by Flower Parish. This is a DC fic, rated explicit, featuring the relationships Jason Todd / Tim Drake, Jason Todd / Roy Harper, Roy Harper / Tim Drake, and eventual Jason Todd / Roy Harper / Tim Drake. Summary. Three dumb boys figuring things out. You know he has a thing for you, right? Ever since they established a kind of home base in Gotham, Tim's been coming by more and more, and it was cute at first, watching him and Jason bicker back and forth constantly, all the verbal pigtail pulling that was going on. But now Roy's kind of getting tired of ignoring the giant elephant in the room. Who? Jason asks distractedly, as he picks up all the empty takeout boxes and tosses them in the trash. When he looks up, Roy's got his arms folded over his chest, glaring at him, glancing back at the door Tim just walked out of. Tim? Jason laughs, a little higher pitch than usual. You mean the kid I tried to gut on more than one occasion? How many times have you hit your head today, Harper? I'm starting to worry about concussions. You never tried to gut him, shut up, Roy rolls his eyes at him. Okay, yeah. You maybe got a little too intimate with your knife in his jugular area, but come on, Jaybird. Kid follows you around like a puppy. Jason makes a disgusted face, throws a box that used to have spring rolls in it at him, before Roy and Tim demolished them before Jason could even get one. No, Jason says. He doesn't. He came over to talk about a damn case, Roy. Right, Roy snorts. That's the fifth time he's come over to talk about the same case this week. You know he's got an IQ of 142, right? I'm actually not even sure he didn't make the whole thing up just to have an excuse to... Jason's jaw starts to twitch, so Roy backs off. I'm just saying, he says, fishing his socket wrench out from under the couch cushion before he stands up, poking Jason in the chest with it. Boy's sweet on you. Oh, go blow yourself up, Jason grumbles, and Roy just laughs, leans in, and gives Jason a big, sloppy kiss on the side of his face before he disappears downstairs for the next few hours. The thing is, Roy knows he's right. He knows because he happens to have some experience in being over the moon for somebody who hardly even knows you're in the same room with them. He's been there with Ollie. He's been there with Dick, and he was there with Jason for about 6 months into their little partnership, until he realized that maybe, for once, he should just try being friends with someone for a change. Every now and then, though, Jason will stumble back in the loft smelling like the inside of a bottle, and those nights he always ends up in Roy's bed, curled up around Roy like he can't get warm enough. And every once in a blue moon, he'll get a little closer. Get his hands in Roy's hair and tug lightly until Roy gets the picture and kisses him, and they end up making out, soft and slow, until Jason just eventually rolls over and passes out. They never talk about it the following morning, and any other circumstance, any other guy, Roy would call him an asshole and tell him to fuck right off. But the thing is, Roy knows what bone-deep loneliness feels like. He knows what it's like having a darkness inside of you so cold and heavy that you're afraid it's going to consume you. It's part of the reason why they work so well. They get each other in a way that no one ever really has before. Roy lets Jason be Jason, all that brooding and secrecy and crippling insecurity underneath layers and layers of bravado, and Jason lets Roy be himself, the king of fake it till you make it, shitty jokes and distractions, lets him blow their money on parts and anything as long as it keeps him sane and sober. They're a fucked up pair, but they've got each other, and there's no way in hell Roy's ever going to fuck that up. Sometimes, Tim will show up while Jason's out tracking down a lead, or just picking up groceries or ammo or something, and Roy will let Tim in, take him downstairs and show him what he's working on. He used to think all the Bat Brats were cocky little shits who thought they were better than everyone else, but Tim just runs his hands over Roy's inventions, and his pretty blue eyes light up when he asks him questions, like how he managed to wire something up a certain way, or what's powering the Roy bots, and suddenly, it's been 2 hours and they're still down in Roy's shop, tinkering and talking, and Roy kind of freaks a little when he realizes how much he needed this. Jason's great. He is. Roy went through hell to get Jason back to them, and he'd do it all over again. But being able to talk shop like this with somebody who really gets what he's saying, who looks at him like he can't wait to hear the next thing that comes out of his mouth, shit, it's almost better than any drug Roy's ever been on. When Jason gets back, he and Tim go upstairs, and Roy orders a couple of pizzas, and Jason and Tim laugh their asses off like jerks when the fucking pizza boy tries to hold him up at the door. "Fucking Gotham," Roy mutters, and grabs a slice after he kicks the kid's dumb ass and sends him on his way, grabs a Gatorade out of the fridge, and drapes himself over the recliner they stole from some drug dealer's house last week, while Tim and Jason go over some new information on whatever side case they're working on for Bruce. Roy just doesn't get how Jason doesn't see the way Tim changes when he gets around him, the way he leans into him when they're looking at something on his laptop, how there's usually color in his cheeks when he pulls away. To anyone else, it would be the most obvious thing in the world, but Jason's too caught up in his cloud of self-deprecation to ever think anyone could actually want him, especially Tim. It's sad, Roy thinks, but maybe he does actually get it after all. The next time Tim comes over, Jason's out doing his rounds near his old neighborhood, and Roy shows Tim the new bow he's working on, a couple of new trick arrows he's crafted up, and Tim helps him figure out why one of the Roy bots keeps self-destructing whenever Roy says anything starting with the letters O or Q. It gets late before either of them notice, and they end up ordering Indians since Jason's not there to bitch about it. They sit on Roy's bed while they eat, because the couch is overrun by boxes of parts and pieces that Roy left there earlier in the day, and look over some new schematics Roy's worked up. Roy's in the middle of going on about this new idea he has about some improvements he can give Tim's bow staff, when Tim just leans over and kisses him, stopping the words right in his throat. It's not totally unexpected. There's been this kind of charge between them ever since Tim started hanging around, and you'd be an idiot not to notice how fucking pretty Tim is. But as soon as it happens, Roy feels weird about it, like he's betraying Jason somehow. But then Tim's fingers are brushing the hair at the nape of his neck, and he's wetting his lips, and Roy's pushing back into the kiss. He suddenly realizes how starved he's been for this, and everything else just sort of melts away, and Roy doesn't think about Jason or anything else. He just wants more. Tim's mouth is pliant and plush against his, warm and soft and sweet, and it parts for him almost immediately. Tim makes a soft noise against Roy's mouth when Roy slips his tongue inside, then Roy's making his own kind of noise when Tim's fingers dig into the back of his neck and he lays back, pulling Roy on top of him. "Wait," Roy says, pulling back to catch his breath. It feels amazing, Tim's needy, desperate noises, knowing how much he wants him. But Roy's still got that prickling in the back of his head that tells him he's doing something wrong. "What?" Tim asks when he looks up at him, eyebrows pulled together in confusion, and Roy gets distracted by how wet and shiny his mouth is, how warm and solid and good he feels under him. Tim wants him. It's unbelievable. "Nothing," Roy says with a smile, and goes back to kissing him. Tim's gone by the time Jason gets back later, but Roy hears him muttering something about fucking curry after he comes in, so Roy knows that he knows Tim was there. He also catches Jason staring at the hickey Tim left on his neck, the one the collar of his shirt doesn't quite reach, But Jason doesn't say anything about that, just kicks Roy's stuff off the couch and spends the next couple of hours cleaning all his guns, sharpening every knife in his collection without a word. Roy goes downstairs and tinkers while Jason does his thing. He knows, logically, that Jason's had months to pick up on Tim's cues, that he's likely had even longer than that. But no matter how hard he tries, he can't put the idea out of his head that he's done something wrong. They fool around, mostly when Jason's not home, or when he is, down in Roy's workshop when they're supposed to be working on something together. Roy doesn't know why they aren't just telling him, but Tim isn't bringing it up, and Roy isn't too eager to have that conversation either, so they just keep doing what they're doing, sneaking away so Roy can press Tim up against a workbench and kiss the breath out of him, for Tim to suck bruises into the side of his neck that Roy tries to hide, like some virginal high school cheerleader. One night, Jason comes home slightly tipsy, lipstick smeared on the collar of his jacket, while Tim and Roy are going in circles trying to play a game of poker. He comes up right behind Roy and presses his nose into the back of Roy's neck, and Roy shivers and laughs because his nose is cold. "He counts cards, you know," Jason murmurs next to his ear, looking across the table at Tim, and Roy laughs, shivers again when he feels Jason's lips drag over his collarbone, his full body pressed behind him. "Must be why we've been going at this for 3 hours without a winner," Roy says, and when he looks at Tim, Tim's eyes are just round, dark circles, his lip turning white where he's biting into it. "Anyway," Jason says, still looking at Tim as he gets his fingers in Roy's hair, messing it up. "I'm going to bed." He turns Roy's head and gives him a wet, sloppy kiss with tongue before he walks off, and when Roy looks back at Tim, his mouth is parted slightly, and there's color brightening his cheeks. They end up in Roy's room about 3 seconds later, Tim pushing him down onto the bed and crawling on top of him, shoving his tongue down Roy's throat and biting his mouth, his jaw, grabbing and tugging at Roy's shirt until Roy sits up and lets him yank it off over his head. They haven't actually gotten anywhere besides making out yet, but now Roy can feel just how hard Tim is, can hear his sharp, ragged breaths as Roy gets his shirt off too and lifts up to mouth at Tim's chest, swirl his tongue around one of his nipples. "God," Tim gasps, burying his hand in Roy's hair. "I want..." "What?" Roy asks against Tim's throat, scrapes his teeth over the skin. "What do you want? Tell me." Tim doesn't say anything, just takes Roy's hand and presses it to his dick, and Roy has to bite his lip when Tim grinds down against his hand, eyes rolling back into his head as a soft little moan leaves his mouth. "Please," Tim says impatiently, and Roy just says, "Okay, yeah," and gets Tim's jeans unbuttoned, and when he finally gets his hand around him, Tim lets out this noise that goes straight to Roy's dick, like it's being choked out of him, all throaty and desperate. Roy gets him off the best he can, but the angle is weird and it's been a long time since he's done this to someone else. He brings Tim's mouth back down to him with his free hand on the back of his neck and kisses him while he strokes Tim's dick, swallows down every sweet little moan, every delicious whimper he gets Tim to make, until Tim's fucking his hand, gasping and panting until he bites down on his mouth and whimpers, his whole body shuddering as Roy feels him spill all over his fingers. "Just," Tim says breathlessly when he rolls off of him, "just give me a minute." And Roy would, but the thing is, Tim had one of his legs pressed right up between his thighs while he was fucking into his fist, and the friction, combined with how fucking hot Tim was, how he can still taste the bourbon on Jason's tongue, well, "it's okay," Roy says sleepily. "I'm good." "You know it's not personal," Jason says a few weeks later, as he's gearing up for some stupid bat-only mission. "You know how Bruce is." "Bigot," Roy mutters, chomping on a bag of Doritos, his mouth circled in bright orange. "I'm still waiting on my tour of the Batcave, by the way." "When's your birthday?" Jason says, grinning as he holsters a Glock on his thigh. "Maybe I'll sneak you in." "That's what you always say," Roy says, glancing at Tim, who's just kind of leaning in the corner, all suited up and waiting on Jason. So where are you guys going again? Suburbia hell, Tim says. B thinks Scarecrow has been poisoning the water supply with toxin, but so far this one neighborhood seems to be the only one affected. Should only take a few days, if that, Jason says. Don't burn the place to the ground while I'm gone. I'll do my worst, Roy says, sucking nacho cheese dust from the tips of his fingers. Just be, I swear to God, if you tell me to be careful, I'll get myself killed just to spite you. From the corner, Roy hears Tim let out a little snort. Ass, Roy says, and tackles Jason with a hug right before he walks out the door. He glances at Tim right before he adds, have fun. This is nice, Tim says, after Jason gets the lights on in the place Bruce set up for them, and he sets his bag down, looking around the room. There's a centerpiece of candles on the coffee table, a flower arrangement on the kitchen table, black and white paintings of different cityscapes hanging on the walls. If you could buy a house straight out of the IKEA catalog, this would probably be the number one seller. If you, you know, like that sort of thing. Jason snorts and heads into the kitchen for a glass of water. It's okay. It nauseates me, too. Can you imagine, Tim says, being the kind of person that lives in a place like this? Working 9 to 5, your biggest problem being if you remembered to TiVo the new episode of Castle. Jason drinks from his glass of water until it's completely empty, sets it in the sink when he's done. Sometimes, he says. Yeah, I've thought about it. Tim cocks his head at him, narrows his eyes. Seriously? What? Jason says. A guy dies and goes a little homicidal revenge on everyone and he doesn't deserve a normal life? Tim opens his mouth to defend himself, but then he catches the tiny glimpse of a smirk tugging at the corners of Jason's mouth, and he picks a stone pebble out of the candle tray and throws it at him. Jason takes it in the chin, but just laughs about it, throws it right back at him, and nearly gets Tim in the eye with it. What, you thought I was serious? Some mind-numbing desk job, worried about health insurance and tax rates? I'd blow myself up before I lived that kind of life. Are you sure? Tim teases. You and Roy are pretty domestic. Fuck off, Jason says. Harper is a plague I cannot rid myself of. Believe me, I've tried. Tim says, watching Jason busy himself with unpacking so he doesn't have to look at him. If you say so. The job in suburbia hell isn't as clear-cut as most of their cases. Usually, they're in and out, bad guys cuffed and handed off to the police. This situation is a little more delicate. They have to make friends with the neighbors to try to figure out who's working for Scarecrow, to see exactly how many people were affected. The third night they're there, they get invited to a potluck. Christ, Jason says, frowning at himself in the mirror. I'm wearing chinos. You look good. Tim shrugs, blushing when Jason looks at his reflection in the mirror. I mean, you'll fit in. At least you're not wearing a cardigan. Jason laughs, but as soon as he turns around, Tim's adding a slim pair of black frames to his face to complete the look, and Jason's laughter gets caught somewhere in his throat. Okay, Tim says, turning to look at him. He is wearing a cardigan, but it's black with a white shirt underneath, and it looks pretty good with the jeans he's wearing. Only Tim could make something like that look sexy. I guess I'm ready. Great, Jason manages to get out without choking on the words. I'll grab the macaroni salad. The neighbors hosting the potluck are Kendra and Joe Van Brunt, and they have a Great Dane named Danger that Jason likes more than anyone else there. This must be your husband, Joe asks, biting her lip when she realizes she might have assumed too much. Sorry, my mouth is not good with the talking. It's awesome with the wine, though, Kendra winks, and helpfully removes her wife's wine glass from her hands. Jason laughs and slips his hand around Tim's waist, tugging him close to play up the charade. It's okay, he says. We just moved in together, one step at a time, you know? Oh yeah, Joe says, nodding. We lived together for like, what, 2 years before I proposed? I think we both always knew it would happen, though. Yeah, Tim says, taking a sip of his drink and stealing a look at Jason. Sometimes, with the right person, it just feels right. Totally, Megan nods. Though if my lovely wife doesn't give me my wine back, I might feel like committing murder. Jason laughs. At some point during the conversation, Tim had put his hand on his back, and Jason can feel the heat from it through his shirt, can smell the clean, fruity scent of the shampoo Tim used before they left. Tim lets him go as soon as Megan and Joe wander off to go mingle with the other guests, but he stays by his side the rest of the night anyway. So that was fun, Tim says dryly, when they get back to the house a couple of hours later, taking his glasses off and rubbing his nose, then putting them back on like he's forgotten he doesn't actually need them. Jason just snorts as he sits down on the couch and pulls his boots off. You get those samples? Yeah, Tim says, grabbing a soda out of the fridge. They had a Wonder Woman shower curtain. Ha, Jason says. That's because they're classy. You done running them yet? Haven't gotten the results back yet, Tim says. Be a few more hours probably, especially if it's some formula we don't have in the database already. Jason nods and walks into the kitchen where Tim is, grabs a beer out of the fridge, and smirks at Tim's Coke. You sure you don't want a big boy drink? Tim just shrugs, takes another sip from the can. Jason figures he probably had too much wine at the party. Kendra kept going around and refilling everybody's glasses, and Tim's dumbass kept drinking it. Jason can tell how drunk he still is by the pink in his cheeks and the soft, glazed look in his eyes. You kept touching me, Tim says after a few seconds, and Jason takes a long pull from his beer before he responds. Yeah, he says. We're undercover. Gotta make it look legit, right? Right, Tim says, and Jason doesn't know if it's just a nervous habit when he licks his lips or... Well, Jason says quickly, pouring the rest of his beer out and throwing it in the recycling bin. I'm beat. You know, you really did fit in, Tim says, catching his wrist before he can turn and walk off. Oh, fuck off, Jason laughs. He could yank his arm out of Tim's grip easily, but for some reason, he just stands there, like he's frozen in one spot. I just mean, Tim says, batting his eyes at him. I don't mean it as a bad thing. You just seemed like you were having such a good time. It's called playing a part, Jason says, looking down at Tim's fingers around his wrist. You were doing it too. I know, Tim says, taking a step closer, right into Jason's space. He looks down at Jason's mouth, swallows. But maybe I wasn't pretending. He leans in closer, and Jason backs away. Don't, he murmurs, gently taking Tim's hand off of him. Sorry, Tim says, leaning back against the counter. Too much wine, I guess. Yeah, Jason says, heart pounding in his chest as he pours the rest of his beer down the sink. Whatever. Night. They end up staying a couple more days when Tim doesn't get any results back from the cave on what they're dealing with. In those few days, they get invited to a barbecue, a pool party, and a birthday party for Joe and Kendra's dog. It's good, Tim says, because he gets to grab more samples from each house without being suspicious, and it's good for Jason because he gets to steal Pilar's amazing guacamole recipe. On Friday, Tim gets his sample results back and traces it to a house off of Glen Meadow, the one they'd went to the barbecue at. They go in at night and find out that Scarecrow's been dosing the family that lives there with fear toxin and blackmailing them so they'll keep polluting the water supply for him. It's only a couple of henchmen they have to deal with themselves, since Scarecrow doesn't show up, and they take them down pretty easily, but Jason still gets clipped in the shoulder with one of the guy's knives before they take them down and leave them for the cops. When they get home, Tim throws a fit about him doing it himself, saying he's just going to open the wound up more, and Jason was going to argue, but it actually is bleeding like a son of a bitch, enough to get him lightheaded, so he finally just leans against the counter and lets it hold his weight while Tim stitches it up for him. You really are reckless, Tim mutters as he stands over him. Maybe it's the blood loss, but it's hard not to notice just how pretty Tim is when he's this close, bottom lip pulled between his teeth a little while he threads the needle. It's like he's seeing him up close for the first time. Everything's magnified. Tim's long, spidery eyelashes, the dark circles under his eyes from never getting enough sleep, the freckles on the bridge of his nose. Jason sways a little when Tim finishes up with the last stitch, and Tim's hands are still busy, so he just presses Jason back against the counter with his body to keep him from falling over, and when he finally puts the needle down, there's hardly an inch between Tim's mouth and his. He can smell the disinfectant Tim smeared on his wound, the orange Tic Tacs he's always popping in his mouth, and when he closes his eyes, Jason doesn't think, just goes for it. Tim's mouth is soft and pliant against his, a little dry, so Jason darts his tongue out to wet his lips, gets a breathy little sigh from Tim in return, Tim's hands coming up to touch his face, and everything that happens after that is a blur. They kiss like they're starved for it, pull at each other's clothes until they're both shirtless. Jason sucks bruises into Tim's neck as Tim kicks his jeans off, then grabs his hips and switches their positions so he can lift Tim onto the counter. Tim wraps his legs around him as Jason bites at his throat, his shoulder, digs his nails into Jason's back and says, "Please, Jason, please." Everything happens so fast, but Jason doesn't want to stop. Now that he's had a taste, he can't. They're careful of his stitches, but that's about where the carefulness ends. Tim knocks a canister full of sugar over, spilling it all over the counter when Jason leans down and mouths at him through his boxers, hits Jason's beer on the other side when Jason hooks his thumb in his boxers and starts to pull them down. Jason sucks him hard and fast and messy and doesn't think about anything except for the way Tim feels, the way he sounds when he comes, and when Tim pulls him back up and kisses him, when Tim tastes himself on Jason's tongue and reaches down and strokes him just as hard and fast, Jason comes so hard he gets lightheaded again. He stays like that, pressed against Tim, forehead resting on Tim's shoulder, until he's not seeing stars anymore. Then he's not sure what to do. He doesn't even really know what fucking got into him. He shouldn't have... Fuck. Shit, Jason mutters as he peels himself off of Tim. I shouldn't have done that. Oh, Tim says, frowning a little. No, Jason says. I mean, yes. What about Roy? I'm not a fucking idiot, Tim. I know you two have been fucking around. Yes, Tim says. We have. You're not exclusive, Jason asks, when Tim looks at him like he's still waiting for him to get to the point. I don't know. Tim shrugs. We haven't really talked about it. What about you and Roy? Me and Roy? Jason gives him a funny look. There is no... Tim raises his eyebrow. I mean, sometimes we... Uh-huh. Shut up, Jason says, as he grabs a couple of paper towels and cleans himself off, hands a few to Tim, too. Me and Roy, we're just friends. Jason, Tim says, leveling a glare at him. You were acting like a jealous boyfriend marking your territory the other night when we were playing poker. Yeah, Jason says, glancing over at Tim as he cleans up the spill on the floor from the beer Tim knocked over. So what did that make you then, after you dragged Roy to his room? You heard that. It's a shitty apartment, Tim, Jason says, throwing the wet towels in the garbage. Everyone on the block heard you. Tim blushes. Look. Jason says, I don't know what me and Roy are. I don't even know what this was. Something I wanted, Tim says plainly. Is it something you wanted? Jason sighs. It's not that simple. Or maybe you're just used to everything being difficult, Tim says, leaving Jason in the kitchen by himself to think about shit he'd rather not think about as he heads to bed. They don't talk about it on the way back to the cave to give Bruce their report, and after that, Tim gets called away on something the Titans need help with, so Jason heads back to his place, takes the long way around on his bike, trying to figure out what to say to Roy, but Roy's not even there when he gets home. The place is even more trash than usual, bits and bobs and parts and pieces scattered on literally every surface available, pizza boxes piled high on the coffee table, and Roy forgot to turn the TV off when he left, so it's blaring a rerun of Law & Order when he walks in. After he unpacks his stuff and puts his clothes away, Jason changes into something comfortable and pads into the kitchen to see if there's anything left in the fridge to make dinner with. He ends up finding a carton of eggs, some cheese, and a little spinach in the crisper, so he throws it all together for an omelet. He's eating the last couple of bites when Roy walks in later, one of Jason's t-shirts pulled on because he probably didn't even do laundry while he was gone, a bag of McDonald's in his hand. "Jaybird," he says, throwing his bag on the couch and tackling Jason with a hug. "You didn't get scarecrowed." Jason just laughs, but he doesn't push Roy off of him like he usually does. He kind of missed the smell of motor oil and cigarettes and that cinnamon gum he's always chewing. "Miss me?" Jason teases, and Roy smacks him on the side of his face with a kiss. "Always, baby," he winks, and when he goes to walk off, Jason grabs him by his arm, pulls him back. "Roy," he says, but Roy just looks so fucking happy, and Jason can't. "Never mind," he says. "Show me what you've been doing while I was gone." They spend the next few hours down in Roy's workshop, Roy talking nonstop like he's been cooped up in the house for the past week all by himself with no one to talk to except his damn droids, and that sounds just like him, actually. So Jason lets him talk as long as he wants, lets him talk until Roy literally passes out at his workbench, and Jason just laughs and scoops him up, carries him upstairs, and since he hasn't actually slept in the last day, Jason takes off his shirt and jeans and crawls in next to him. Roy's body is always running a few temperatures higher than normal, but it's cool in the apartment right now, so Jason doesn't mind, just curls his body around Roy's and soaks up all the body heat, buries his nose in Roy's long hair, breathes in the scent of the generic apple-scented shampoo Jason bought before he left. Roy mumbles and squirms back against him, making Jason's dick stir in his boxers. "Missed you, Jaybird." Jason figures it's just half asleep mumbling, but then Roy's putting his hand over the one Jason has on his belly and dragging it lower, pressing Jason's hand on him through his shorts and moaning, pressing his ass back against Jason like he knows exactly what he's doing. "Roy," Jason starts. He knows he should tell Roy about what happened with him and Tim, at least talk to him about it, but... But then, Roy's shucking his boxers down, reaching back and pushing at Jason's boxers, whining for Jason to get them off and fuck. Jason's usually a lot less sober when they do this, when he can't remember that doing this could fuck up everything they have. "Roy," he tries again, but it comes out less serious and more like a strangled moan when Roy rubs his bare ass against his dick. "Please, Jay," Roy says, reaching back to squeeze Jason's hip. "I need you in me." And all of Jason's self-restraint goes flying out the window. He grabs the lube off the nightstand, skips preparation when Roy grabs his wrist and says, "I'm ready." Then slicks himself up, lifts Roy's legs, and spits curses against the nape of Roy's neck when he pushes inside of him. Jay, fuck, Roy gasps, hands scrambling at the edge of the mattress as Jason gets deeper and deeper. "Wanted this so much, God, so bad." "I know," Jason murmurs against his shoulder, taking a deep breath when he bottoms out. "Me too." The headboard rocks against the wall when he starts to move, shoving Roy forward on the mattress with each thrust, but God, it feels amazing. He'd forgotten how good fucking could feel, just burying his cock in tight, hot heat and letting everything else go. He fucks Roy hard and rough, bruises his hips with his hands, and leaves the imprint of his teeth all over his neck and shoulders. "Is this what you do with Tim?" he growls out when he gets his hand on Roy's dick. He's not sure where that came from, exactly, but it makes Roy's dick leak and twitch in his hand. "Does he fuck you like this, baby?" "Oh, God," Roy gasps, and Jason feels his muscles clench and tighten around his cock when he comes, spilling out on the sheets and Jason's fingers. "Fuck," Jason growls, and pushes Roy onto his stomach, grabs his hips and pounds into him until he feels it start to build, tighter and tighter, closes his eyes and fucking screams when it hits him, branding Roy's hips as he spills inside of him, then collapsing on the bed next to him. Roy just makes an incoherent but pleased little noise and curls into him, both of them sticky and gross with sweat and cum, but neither of them caring enough to do anything about it. He doesn't, Roy says, right before Jason's about to pass out. Tim doesn't fuck me, just you. Oh, Jason says, after he's had a moment to process that, and when he turns his head to the side to ask Roy why, he's already passed out. When Tim gets back from working with the Titans, he shows up at Roy and Jay's place with takeout and a giant gash over his right eye. Who'd you piss off? Jason asks, pressing his thumb to Tim's forehead to see how deep it is, as Roy takes the bags out of his hands to find the fortune cookies. Connor got dosed with some, don't start, he says, when Jason starts grinding his teeth. It wasn't his fault. You need stitches, Jason says. You can afford to go to the ER, I know that. What the fuck, Tim? Stop being a mama hen and come eat, Roy says, poking Jason in the ribs with a chopstick. Boy's fine. It doesn't occur to Jason that maybe this should be weird until all three of them are on the couch devouring fried rice and egg rolls, Tim flipping through the channels to find the hockey game that's on. Jason gets up to get a beer, while Tim and Roy argue about who the better team is, and when he sits back down, Tim steals his beer, then Roy steals it from him, and by the time Jason gets it back, it's half empty. Okay, he says, putting his beer on the coffee table. What the hell is going on here? Tim says. Hockey? Shitty hockey, Roy snipes, and Tim glares at him. I sucked Tim's dick while we were pretending to be a couple, Jason says, a little too loudly, like maybe if he shouts it, it will make sense. Oh, Roy says, pausing with an egg roll halfway to his mouth. Then he looks at Tim. I fucked Roy last night. Tim goes a little pink in the cheeks and looks at Roy, who doesn't even know the meaning of shame, and just shoves his egg roll in his mouth and shrugs. You don't let me fuck you, Tim says, and Roy just reaches for him, thankfully finishes chewing his egg roll before he grins and says, you never asked. This is ridiculous, Jason says, adding a little inflection at the end so it actually sounds like he's asking a question. Does anybody here care that we've all been fucking each other the whole time? You, apparently, Tim snorts, to which Jason just glares at him. Not the whole time, Roy says, which is totally unfair, by the way. Why haven't you been fucking me like that the whole time? Jason's going to pull his hair out. Can one of you be fucking serious, he says, for 5 minutes, that's all I'm asking. Sure, Tim says, sliding out of Roy's lap and sitting next to Jason on the couch. What do you want to talk about? What? Jason starts. I mean, what? I like Roy, Tim says, like he's explaining to a kindergartner, and Jason can't even be mad because he kind of feels like one right now, small and confused and maybe a little scared. I like you, too. I think you know that. If you didn't, you're a fucking idiot. Roy snickers. But, shh, Tim says, putting his fingers against Jason's lips. You're into me, right? Jason nods. He's too tired and confused to pretend or deny anything right now. And you and Roy, he says, looking back at Roy, then at Jason, smiling. You're crazy about each other. Okay. Jason finally interrupts. You're just stating facts, Tim. That doesn't explain how nobody is freaking out about this. What's there to freak out about? Roy says, leaning over to put his chin on Tim's shoulder. Look at us, Jaybird. Give me one good reason to freak out. Jason starts. But you, and Tim is... We all do our own things, Tim says. We all need different things, sometimes from different people. We work, Jason. Admit it. Oh, Jason says quietly, then looks at Tim, looks next to his face at Roy, and something in his chest starts to unravel slowly. Oh, shit. Roy grins. I think he's got it, Pinky. Fuck you, Tim says, throwing his elbow into Roy's ribs. I'm the brain, obviously. You're both fucking nuts, Jason laughs, then picks his beer back up off the coffee table and props his feet up, leaning back against the couch to throw his arm around Tim, the tips of his fingers brushing Roy's shoulder on the other side of him. He hates to admit it, but the assholes are right. This feels nice. Right, even. That peacefulness lasts about 20 seconds until Tim shoots out of his seat, sending fried rice flying all over the room, screaming something about a fucking bullshit penalty. Roy looks over at him and grins, and they both yank Tim back down by his belt loops. Maybe, Jason thinks, as Tim steals the rest of his beer and Roy rags on Tim for his team, this might actually work. The end.
I want someone to love me. I need someone who needs me.